And open them to 1 Timothy chapter 1. 1 Timothy chapter 1. Let me know when you're there by saying amen. Thank you. I've been trying to pardon me? Yes. Yeah. 1 Timothy chapter 1. Say amen when you're there. Amen. We're going to look at something a little in my devotions this morning, in my reading and study. Something that stuck in my mind, and I wanted to share it with you tonight, and I'm trying to be as quick as possible. So is that right? Almost 10 of? So I have to get done in 10 minutes? Now, I think we have a better chance of... Yeah, 10 minutes. So let's hurry up. 1 Timothy chapter 1, look in verse 15 with me, please. You all there? It says, "This is a faithful saying and worthy of all acceptation, that Christ Jesus came into the world to save sinners." And then he says, "Of whom I am chief." Amen. I like this. I should underline that. I have it highlighted. This is a faithful saying and worthy of all acceptance. All of us should accept this, and the whole world should know it, and we have to be worthy of us saying it. We have to say it. It's faithful. And what is it? That Jesus Christ came to save sinners. Amen. Of whom I am chief. Apostle Paul, being the greatest Christian at the time, knew that, you know what, he came to save me. And that's what I want you to listen to what God's going to say, because I'm going to go a little fast because of the time. But if he says, "This is a faithful saying," well, Apostle Paul wrote this letter, and Apostle Paul said these exact words four times in four different places. So let's look at those four places and see what we can glean from that. Amen. And with that, before we move on, I just want you to realize when he says it's a faithful saying, he's not saying it just to Timothy, he's saying it to whoever's reading it. That means it's a saying. Like when I say God is good, you say, see, it's a saying. You know what to say. So this is a saying that you should all be saying, that Jesus Christ came to save sinners, of whom I am the chiefest. If you go around telling everybody that, Jesus Christ came to save sinners and I'm the worst. I'm the chiefest of them all. You see, what happens is it's not only good for them, but it's good for you. Or should I say, it is good for you, right, JJ? It's good that God saved your soul, isn't it? It's good, isn't it? That you're never going to go to hell. You won't burn in the lake of fire forever and ever with every murderer and rapist and evildoer. You know, it's a great thing that God would save my soul, and how he saved my soul. Right, Anton? By coming to this earth, Jesus Christ came to save sinners, of whom he saved me. I'm the chiefest one. So what that did is that motivated Paul to be who Paul was. Because he said, this is a faithful saying. We all need to say this over and over and over. This young lady's in a school, and you can tell me or not whether you hear anybody talk about Jesus in your school. No. You hear any teacher talk about Jesus in your school? No. See, where are the young people today ever going to hear about it if they don't hear from God's people? Amen? There's not going to be any excuse when you get to heaven and God's going to say, I put you right next to this person in class. I put you right next to this person at work. I put you right next to this neighbor and you never told them. And what does he say? It's faithful saying. Jesus Christ came to save sinners, of whom, not you, me. See, Apostle Paul says, and I'm the chiefest. And that what that'll do is by humbling yourself and realizing that he saved me, that'll make other people think, wow, maybe I need to be saved too. Amen. It's a great thing. Well, with that said, I just want you to realize that Apostle Paul called himself the chiefest of sinners. And we're not going to look at this for time, but in 1 Corinthians 15:9, he also said, I am the least of the apostles. And in Ephesians 3:8, he also said, I am less than all the saints. So think about that. Apostle Paul said, I'm the chiefest sinner. I'm the least of the apostles. I'm the less of all the saints that's ever been. So you think of that humility that he had. You know why he was humble? Because he knew he was the chiefest sinner. You know why he was humble? Because he knew Jesus Christ came to die on that cross to suffer and bleed for him. And that's what we need to do. We need to make it personal for us. If we'll make it personal, you keep it personal, keep it very personal to you. He came to save my soul. He died and suffered and was crucified and beaten and spit on to save my soul. That's why he came. So what does he say to do? That's a faithful saying. Go and tell everybody. And that's really how easy it is. Look with me, if you would, in 1 Timothy chapter 4 is the second place he said it. 1 Timothy chapter 4, starting in verse 9, it says the same words. This is a faithful saying and worthy of all acceptation. Now, you got to ask, okay, what's he talking about here? Well, let's start in verse 8 and let's read. It says, for bodily exercise profits little, but godliness is profitable unto all things, having promise of the life that now is and of that which is to come. This is a faithful saying and worthy of all acceptation. For therefore, we both labor and suffer reproach because we trust in the living God, who is the Savior of all men, especially those that believe. You see the two verses that are linking, one thing they have in common, who is the Savior. Jesus Christ came to save sinners. But here he says this, godliness is profitable to all things. Exercise and eating right and doing right, you know, in your body and keeping in shape and all, like my wife does, and everything. Amen. So you can laugh right there. Insert laugh right there. Amen. But anyway, that profits a little bit. But what profits a lot is godliness. So what happens is look what it says in the verse. It says, if you practice godliness, if you be godly, it says that all things having a promise of the life that now is. That means godliness will profit you in this life right here and in the life to come, eternal life. You see, there is an afterlife. There is an afterlife. Most people don't think about it. They need to think about it. There is an afterlife. You have a soul, you are a soul that has a body. Your soul is who you are, Olivia, and your soul of who you are is looking out your eyes. Who Olivia is inside that body of hers is looking out her eyes. Who you are is looking out your eyes. You're hearing inside your ears, and it's all affecting your soul. When this body does die, whenever it is, whether it's young or old or from some disease or car accident, doesn't matter. When you die, your soul is going to live forever. Your soul's going to live forever somewhere. And it's either going to be in hell or it's going to be in eternity with God. And then God promises you, not only is your soul going to live forever, I'm going to resurrect your body, and your body's going to be just like my son, Jesus Christ, and you're going to rule and reign and live with me forever, and we got plans to do like you wouldn't even imagine plans. Eye has not seen, ear hasn't heard it, either has it entered in the heart of men, the things that God has prepared for them that love him. And so when he says this, says that godliness profits unto all things, having a promise of the life that now is. So I want you to be blessed. God wants you to be blessed. And he said, be godly. Be godly, because that'll bless you in this life and the life to come. And that's why it says in verse 10, therefore we labor and suffer reproach, because we trust in the living God, who is the Savior of all men. Think about that verse. He's the Savior of everyone. He's the Savior of all men, but especially those that believe on him. So how can someone believe if they don't hear about Jesus? What did he say in the first verse? He said, it is a faithful word, a faithful saying that Jesus Christ came to save sinners, of who I'm the chiefest. And then he said here that it's really good for you to be godly, because you're going to be blessed in this world and the world to come. And he says, therefore I go through what I'm going through. I am going through to labor. I'm going to work to get many people to hear the word of God, the truth that Jesus Christ came to save their soul, and that he's going to give you eternal life, and you can even say, and you can have a profitable life today. This life right now is the greatest life you'll ever have with Christ. My life isn't worth anything without him. I don't want to even know what it's like to live without Christ. I don't even want to, I'm just talking right now, but if I have a bad thought, if I entertain one temptation, I'm not even do it, just in here. Like you were thinking about it. Or, you know, the Bible says about the word of God knows the thoughts and the intents of your heart. Even if my intent of my heart, no one else, I didn't do anything wrong. I didn't say anything wrong. But the deep down in my heart, you know what I mean? Like there was something that makes me feel so guilty that I sinned against God. And then I spend hours repenting and asking God to cleanse me and wash me. You know why? Not because of something that I could do, would do, thought of, whatever. It's because I don't want to break the fellowship that I have with him in any way. My fellowship with him is so awesome, so good, that my life is absolutely amazing right now. It is amazing. Remember I said last week, I don't need anything? I don't. Remember you said, Chrissy, you said, I want to thank God for everything I have. And I do. And I have everything I could ever want and more. And I don't want to mess that up, because godliness is really important. And godliness means I'm being like him. And you know how I can be like him? Hanging with him, talking with him, walking with him, singing with him, worshiping him, praising him, reading about him, studying him. But the greatest of them all is talking about him to everyone, telling him that Jesus Christ came to save sinners, of whom I'm the worst one. And he saved my soul. Hallelujah. If we would just get the truth and let the truth start stirring you up, because you're the worst, most wicked person you know. Yeah, you could say, Pastor just called me the wickedest person. Yep. Because if Apostle Paul was the chiefest of sinners, he thought he was. Oh boy, how bad are we? Can I get an amen? Amen. Let's go and see the next one, he said. And that's in 2 Timothy chapter 2. See, what I want to get to is, I don't know how to explain it. I don't know how to explain it so you'll get it. But what he's saying in the first one is, this is worthy to say. This is faithful to say that Jesus Christ came to save sinners, and I'm the chief. Then he says that it's worthy to say and faithful to say that Jesus Christ, that godliness will profit you in this world and the world to come, but that Jesus Christ is the Savior. He's the Savior. And what is it, the greatest thing that he wants to say so it's worthy? And it's worthy for everyone to accept it, that Jesus Christ is the Savior of the world. He's not just the Savior of me and you. He's the Savior of everybody. That means all the Muslims and all the gays and all the transvestites and all the murderers and all the wicked, horrible, rotten people that people want to hate. He's their Savior. How are they ever going to change? How are we ever going to have revival? How are we ever going to have the President of the United States and the senators and the congressmen ever have a good heart and a right heart unless they hear about Jesus? And they have to hear it from somebody. And the best thing to hear is, see, what people don't want to hear is, you're a sinner, you're going to hell. They don't want to hear that. How about, I'm a sinner and I was going to hell and he saved my soul. Thank you, Jesus. Hallelujah. Why? Because Jesus came to save sinners. Let people hear that. Let people hear what he did for you. Don't tell them what they're doing wrong. Don't tell them where they belong. Don't tell them how they're bad. Stop blaming everyone else and start rejoicing in what Jesus Christ did for you. And maybe, just maybe, they'll want what you got. Amen? Amen? That's why he said this is a worthy thing to say. Not that the government's messed up. Not that aliens are coming. Not that the water's polluted and the world's going to end in 12 years, which is hokey pokey. You know that's ridiculous. Anyone that thinks the world's going to end because of... Can I ask you a question? Am I allowed to stop and interject my own thoughts right here? Could you help me out here? You heard of this. First it was global warming. Now it's not global warming. What's it called now? Climate change. And the whole world's going to end. Could you please... No, climate disaster. Isn't it called disaster? Or catastrophe? What's the word they're using? No, what are they saying's happening in the climate? It's like... So anyway, my question is, where is it, could you please point it out and show me where the climate has destroyed a city, a town, a person? Could you please show me somewhere where it's just a disaster somewhere? Anybody? Exactly. Then why are they talking about it so much? You're a young kid. They're going to tell you in school how bad the climate, we're going to all die in 10 years. Ah! And you have to have an electric car and you got to do this. And you gotta... The thing is if that were true, I'd be on but it's not even true. Show me one place in the whole world where that's happening. You know what I mean? Like, where do they get that from? Why am I on that story? Why? You know why I'm on that story? Because this is not a faithful saying. What a faithful saying is that Jesus Christ came to save sinners, of whom I'm the chiefest. Amen. Look with me, if you would, in 2 Timothy chapter 2, verse 11. It says this, it is a faithful saying. For if we be dead with him, we shall also live with him. Amen. I mean, think about that, and it's a two-edged sword. If we be dead with him, Apostle Paul said in another place, I die daily. Jesus Christ died on the cross so that you may live. Do you understand that? Jesus suffered, Olivia, and died and was whipped and crucified and beaten and spit on, also that you would never have to be judged for the sins you've committed. And Olivia, and I know I'm picking you out because I like you and you're cute and you're young, but guess what? You've sinned. We all have. And so therefore your sin is going to be judged. But Jesus said, I'll take it. I'll take it. Judge me instead. I love her. I don't want her to ever go to hell. Isn't that awesome? Isn't that great? He said that about all of you. He even said that about ugly me. He even said, and I'm not cute and cuddly and little or nothing. And he said, I love you, Michael. I'm going to die for you. Do you understand what I'm saying? And so that should be the faithful saying. That should be the one thing that should be accepted first of me. I want everyone in this room before you leave to think about what he said as a faithful saying. And that is Jesus Christ came to save a sinner. And that sinner is me. And then guess what? Not only is it profitable for me to be godly in this world, but it's profitable for me because there is another world. There's an afterlife. And every person you ever meet is going to have an afterlife. And it's after your life on this earth, where is that person going to spend eternity? In a fire of lake of hell, the trash, where trash go? Or eternity with Christ? And it's a very good thing. Look what he says. He says, it's a faithful saying, if we be dead with him, we shall also live with him. Now, let's go back and look in verse 10. He says, therefore, because of this, I endure all things for the elect's sake, that they may also obtain the salvation which is in Christ Jesus with eternal glory. Do you see the same thing that he keeps saying over and over and over about what is a faithful saying? That Jesus Christ saved sinners, that Jesus Christ saved the whole world, that Jesus Christ came to save you, he saved me, saved everybody. And Apostle Paul says, the reason that I endure all the hard things I do in this world is so that they may obtain salvation. What are we doing suffering so our neighbors won't go to hell? What are we laboring? What are we doing really suffering and experiencing suffering and pain just for the sake of the gospel to get it out to somebody? See, we don't take it as real. And sometimes we take it for us and we're all happy in our little bubble and we're happy in our little church bubble. And we all come in and praise Jesus in our church bubble. But when we're out, no one else gets in that bubble. And the whole real reason about this is we need to do what is supposed to be done. And our job is to be a faithful witness of Christ. And that's why it's a faithful saying. Not that you're going to hell, you need to repent. But that I was going to hell and I needed to repent. And you know why? Because Jesus Christ came to save sinners and I'm the worst one. I love it when I go into bank and Wawa's and stuff and they say, how you doing? I say, better than I deserve. And they half of them will go, oh, that's not true. You know what I mean? I'm like, no, I deserve hell. And then they shut up. They stop talking to you once they realize what you mean. But I say, no, I deserve hell, but Jesus saved me and I'm going to heaven. And they just get quiet and they don't care about me. It's a shame, isn't it? But that person, every person you meet, in school, every person you meet is going to hell. Unless they've received Jesus Christ as their Savior. Why did he come? To save sinners. I want you to think about this. It's a faithful saying. If we be dead with him, he said, we shall also live with him. First, to die to self so Christ can live in us and through us. Let me ask you a question. Do you think you have power to save someone? No. Does Christ have power to save someone? Yes. Is Christ in you and is he even powerful in you? And see, that's the thing is Christ gave up his life so that he could continue to live in you, through every little child. I appreciate little Vonnie. I think it was Vonnie. Was it him praying for the pastor? Ice cream after church, buddy, me and you. And what it is to think about somebody caring about someone enough to just tell them the gospel. In 1 Corinthians chapter 9, would you turn there with me, please? 1 Corinthians chapter 9, what did Apostle Paul endure? He endured everything. For what reason? For the sake of the gospel, so that someone could get saved. I just wonder what we do for the sake of the gospel. What do we do, really do? What are we doing, really doing? Why are we coming to church if we're not spreading the gospel? Why are we coming to church and spending our time here and listening to the big mouth preacher and singing songs and reading our Bibles if we're not going to share the gospel of Jesus Christ? You know what the greatest testimony you have? You remember Lazarus in John 11? Lazarus was raised from the dead. Remember, everybody came to see Lazarus, the man that was raised from the dead. Well, you were raised from the dead. You were dead in trespasses and in sins. You were on your way to hell and now you're saved. Hallelujah. You're saved. Save, 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 as the song says. You are resurrected. You're a new person. Your old man was buried. The new one's walking around. I am a new man, a new woman. Now everyone should come to see that. But you know what it is? You don't tell everyone that. And you need to. Look what it says in 1 Corinthians chapter 9, starting in verse 19. It says, "For though I be made free from all men, yet have I made myself a servant unto all, that I might gain the more. Under the Jews I became a Jew, that I might gain the Jews. To them that are under the law, as under the law, that I might gain them that are under the law. To them that are without the law, as without law, being not without law to God, but under the law to Christ, that I might gain them that are without the law. To the weak I became as weak, that I might gain the weak. I am made all things to all men, that I might by some means save some." Amen. "And this I do," say it, church, "for the gospel's sake, that I might be partakers thereof with you." I just wanted you to know that if you will think about that very first verse that we read these four times, we're going to read one more and we'll finish. It is a faithful saying. It's a faithful saying. That means you should be faithful saying it. What is it, Pastor? That Jesus Christ came to save sinners, of whom I'm the chief. All right, can you actually say that and mean it? When do you think, you know what happens? The reason you don't think you're the chief of sinners is because you're not that close to Christ. The closer you get to God, the bigger he gets and the smaller you get. The farther away from you get from God, the smaller he gets and the bigger you get. And the more you think, I'm good, I'm all right, I'm a good person, I don't drink, smoke, or chew, and I don't even go with those who do. I go to church and I give my tithe. You know what I mean? I even give old ladies a ride. You know, when they need a church. It's like you start thinking of yourself more highly than you ought to think, as the Bible says. When you ought to think yourself like Apostle Paul. He knew and never forgot what he always did and who he was and how he just, you know, murdered people. And now God called him to the greatest calling of all the world, to go out and spread the gospel to somebody. And he's got the same calling to the young, same calling to the older, same calling to all of us, rich and poor, female, male, doesn't matter. We're all the same. And we all need to have a faithful saying in our lives. And if you're going to have one faithful saying, it ought to be, Jesus Christ came to save sinners, of who I'm the worst one. And I want you to say it because you might hear yourself and you might think of yourself. And what happens when you realize that you're the worst one? It humbles you. It humbles you. And when it humbles you, you listening? That's when Christ can work in you and through you. And how many people want to see souls saved? How many people want to see souls saved by you? How many people want to lead someone to faith in Jesus Christ? How many people would love to not only pray with them, show them in the Bible and pray with them and then see them receive Christ, but then see them come to church? And then not only see them come to church, but see them come and be baptized. And then come and see them on every Sunday, coming to church and having a Bible in their hand. Next thing you know, having their friends with them and their family with them. And then they're going out and they're bringing more people in. Woo! You talk about your answered prayer, brother, about America, about the country, about my families, about everything you just prayed for. That's where it starts. It starts with us. And it isn't going to happen until you realize I'm the worst of them all. Yes, even you, Olivia. When you compare you to me, you're an angel. But compared to Jesus, you're no good sinner. All of us are. Even children. You know, and it's just a fact. It's a truth. And that's why, because if you just will dwell on that faithful saying, he came to save a sinner, and that sinner was me. He came, left heaven, left his throne to be born in a stable with animals. Never have a real life, never had a wife, never had children. He came and he helped people. He walked on water even. He called to calm the seas and the winds. And he was the most amazing person that's ever walked the earth. And then he went to the cross and was beaten for me. He did all that just for me because he saw that I needed to be saved. And let that change your heart. Let that make you into the tender, kind, humble person that you really should be. And then let him live in you, and let him love through you. Let him see through you. When you see that person that's sitting on the street corner, when you see that person that's cursing, when you see that person that's hurting you and lying and cheating or stealing from you, you can see that person as someone that's lost, going to hell. And you can tell them, you know what? Jesus Christ came to save sinners, and I'm the worst one. And he saved me. And maybe, just maybe, that sharing that gospel with that person will save them. And that's what we need to do. Would you turn with me to the last verse? And that is in Titus. Look at Steve over there preaching my message for me. Steve knows. Titus chapter 3, if you'll turn there. Eight, first thing. Thank you, Steve. Titus chapter 3, are you there? In verse 8 it says, "This is a faithful saying, and these things I will that thou affirm," what's it say? How long? Oh, buddy. See, he's getting personal now. He's saying, I'm praying that you will say, this is a faithful saying, that you'll constantly tell everyone, constantly affirm it to yourself. Remember where it says this too is also something that you should accept. It's faithful, and you need to accept it, that you're the biggest sinner in the house. You're the biggest sinner at your workplace. You're the biggest sinner in this church. You're the biggest sinner. And stop thinking about everyone else as a bigger sinner. We all are. Amen. And he came to save us. He came to save you. And let that work in you some kind of humility and the truth. And go and tell people, everybody, that he saved me. I was the worst sinner. And guess what they'll say? No, not you, Olivia. No, you don't do anything wrong. And Olivia could say, no, you have no idea. I'm a wicked sinner. And Christ came to save me. Bet you that'll touch a lot of your friends' hearts. I bet it'll touch a lot of people on the ship. But you'll touch a lot of people that you meet. Here he says this. He says, "It is a faithful saying, and these things I will that thou affirm constantly, that they which have believed in God might be careful to maintain," what's he say? "Good works. These things are good and profitable unto men." Why is he saying this? The word profitable, you know what it means? It means yielding fruit. These things are profitable. Remember when we started, he said bodily exercise profits little, but godliness profits, very profitable in this world and the next. You know why he's saying that, using the word profitable? Because my thing that I want this year is I want to be fruitful. You know, Jesus said that if the word of God falls on a good ground, which is your heart, that those people will produce fruit. And that fruit will be some 30, some 60, some even 100-fold fruit. And I was thinking about that 100-fold. I don't even know what that's like. And I'm really old. And so I'm like, you know, I could be dead tomorrow. I'm so old. And I don't want to live this life and not know what it's like to produce that kind of fruit. I'm not 16. And I'm not 27. And I'm not 35. And, I'm 60 now. And I'm like, I only have maybe 20 years left to live. You know what I mean? And you know how 20 years goes by like that. Well, you'll find out anyway. 16 years went by pretty quick, didn't it? I know. Last time she was here, she was 7 or 8. My point is, I don't want another day to go by without me knowing what's it like to produce the fruit that God's talking about. 30-fold fruit. Wouldn't that be awesome, Anton? 30-fold. How about 60-fold, Christine? Rihanna, how about 100-fold? I want to know what that's like. And that's why when he said this, he said, he says that it's a faithful saying that these things that I would affirm constantly, that they which have believed, that's me and you, might be careful to do what? Maintain good works. Maintain good works. And I'm going to finish with this, but these things are good and profitable. Good works, doing good works for the Lord Jesus Christ is profitable in this earth and in life to come. Because what you do for Jesus down here, you earn rewards up there. And I'm talking about amazing, awesome rewards. You receive honor and glory from God. You receive crowns and power and authority. Jesus Christ isn't prideful. He's going to even share his throne. Share his throne. I know certain pastors won't even share their pulpit, will they? You know what I mean? I'm like, nope, they won't let anybody back here. I'm like, what? I'll let almost anybody. Because I want you to be the best you can be, amen? I want you to fulfill the purpose you have in this life. But let me just talk to you about this good works for a quick minute. Profitable means yielding fruit. It means beneficial to you and to others. It profits, the word, you know, the prophets, P-R-O-P-H-E-T, the prophets, the preachers, they are profitable. You know why preachers are profitable? Because they do the good works of God that share the gospel to others. And you are a prophet and you didn't even know it. You know what a prophet is? A prophet's someone that's speaking the words of God. And you know what word that you can learn tonight that you said? Is that Jesus Christ came to save sinners. Amen. Of whom I am chief. You don't blame others. You don't look at others and say they're worse than you. You know what I mean? It's so easy to do that. Anyone can look and say, oh, they're bad. They're way worse than me. I'm better than them. Christ cannot work in you or through you until you humble yourself and like Apostle Paul and realize I'm the chiefest of sinners. But I want you to notice something, and we'll finish with this. Starting in verse 5 and 6 of that chapter, we have one of the verses that everybody knows, or at least you should, and it's in Titus chapter 3, verse 5 and verse 6. And it says, not by works of righteousness which we have done, but according to his mercy he saved us, by the washing of regeneration and renewing of the Holy Ghost. You see, it's not by works of righteousness. Amen? But then, he said, look what he says, and keep reading, which he shed on us abundantly through Jesus Christ our Savior, that being justified by his grace, we should be made heirs according to the hope of eternal life. This is a faithful saying. And these things I will, that thou affirm constantly, that they which have believed in God might be careful to maintain good works. These things are good and profitable unto men. You know why? Because Jesus Christ did all the good works while he was on this earth. Amen? I'm going to finish here, so you say amen so I can get done, get you home to your TV dinners. All right? Now listen. Jesus Christ came to this earth to save sinners. What did he do? He gave up his life. He died to self. He cared more about you than he did himself. Can I get an amen? Amen. He did all the good works. Amen? He did the good works, and through his good works, you received the salvation. Now, you receive salvation through his good works. Now, God's telling you to maintain good works so that others can receive salvation through your good works. Make sense? Thank you. Thank you. Somebody, by George, I think they've got it, Olivia. So what is the good works? Telling everybody, Jesus Christ came to save sinners, of who I'm the worst. That'll strike up a conversation. I'm not picking on you. I like you, Olivia. But like you see, you got to see her face. She's got a beautiful smile. She's so really cute. Like you look at a little girl like that and you just go, aw, she's so innocent and pure. And you're like, God's like, she's the cheapest of sinners. And what it is you have someone like her tell somebody or go up to an older person, right? And an older person is like, aw, how are you doing, young lady? And she's doing something nice for him. And she says, you know what? Jesus Christ came to save sinners. Who, I'm the worst one. I'm the chief. And they would like, no, you're not. You're just a sweet little thing. She's like, oh no, I was on my way to hell and I'm saved. That will make them think. Because if she needed to be saved, they need to be saved. And that's what everyone thinks. People come into the church and they tell me, they say, oh, Pastor, I don't fit in there. Everybody's holy rollers in there. I laugh. I'm like, you don't know these people. You don't know who you're sitting next to. And it's just funny because, you know, people think, oh, they got suits and ties and dresses on and they're all goody two shoes. I'm like, you have no idea who these people are, or I should say who they were. Amen. They're all the cheapest of sinners and Christ saved them. And now they're in the house of God, thanking him, worshiping him, praising him, edifying one another so that we can do what? Go out there and tell the world Jesus Christ came to save sinners, of whom I am chief. Amen? Amen? Amen. Let's bow our heads for a moment of prayer. And I would like us to just think about it for a moment. And I'd like to have an invitation, but just stay at your seats. And Brother Cliff, as Brother Cliff plays, I would just like you to think about this right now. How's your relationship with him? Do you think of yourself as the biggest sinner, or do you always look for others to blame and people are worse than you and always complaining? I want you to think about this right now. Jesus Christ came to save your soul. He died on that cross just for you, to save your soul from hell. Can't you thank him for that? Can't you worship him for that? Can't you love him for that? But I want you to think of this, is that the closer you get to him, and the more you walk with him, the more you talk with him, you're going to realize, wow, I really am a sinner. See, a lot of people say it, but they don't realize it. I want you to realize each and every one of us deserve hell. Each and every one of us deserve to be separated from God for all eternity for the sins that we've committed. But because of what Jesus did on the cross, you'll never ever have to. Because of what Jesus did, suffering, bleeding, and dying for you, he paid your sin debt. He paid it all. And he gives unto you freedom and life and liberty and love. And he gives you a gift, the gift of the Holy Spirit, that his Spirit can walk with you and talk with you and be with you throughout the day, throughout the night, whenever you're going through some hard times. He's always there. He loves you more than anybody. And you learn to love him back. And the only thing he asks from you to do is go and tell people. Tell people what I did for you. Tell people what I did for you. And let's pray that they too would receive Jesus and be saved. And let's start a revival. And let's start producing fruit. And Jesus said, fruit that would remain. And the only way you can do that is to have him in you. And the only way you can have him in you is to be like Paul and be humble and say, I don't deserve anything. I deserve hell. But he's promised me everlasting life. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus.